Because I believe healing is a very big thing. I don't know about you. Last week, my nose started running. So I caught it. But I can tell you, it can't stay. And I'm not allowing it to stay. Am I careful? Yes, I'm very careful. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, healing is very important for a born-again believer. And, you know, do we all get healed? No. And, you know, a lot of times when we lay hands on somebody and we expect God to heal them. And when I lay hands on, you know, we talked about it before. When I lay hands on the sick, it's up to you because I planted the seed. So it's up to you to grab a hold to the word. And, you know, we can pray for different people. We can do and pray for this and pray for that. But if that person don't receive it, it's not going to happen. And I'm going to try to explain that a little bit today. And, you know, it'd be our roadblock to divine healing, part 5. Praise the Lord. And today we're going to talk about, you've heard this before, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. How many times we've heard that? I heard it plenty of times. And from the denomination I was in, that means that he was a sick man. But, you know, you get into the word, you find out it's not that. But everybody's mind's a thorn in the side. I don't know about you. I never had one in the side, but I had one in the foot. And it hurts. Right? It can be very, especially the little bitty ones where you can't see it. And, you know, and then now you got to get a magnifying glass. So the glasses ain't quite big enough. But you understand that the thorn in the flesh. And where are we going with this? Well, I'll tell you what. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12, and we'll start at verse 7. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7, and it says, even though I have received such wonderful revelation from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I'm going to say that again. So to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. Now, I know there ain't no proud people in here. There may be a few. But let's go to verse 8. Verse 8 tells us, 3 different times I begged the Lord to take it away. How many times we beg the Lord? You don't have to beg the Lord for nothing. But he said, 3 times I begged the Lord to take it away. All right, next verse. And he says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me. Verse 10. And it says, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, persecution, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Praise the Lord. Good place to say amen right there. Now, he's not bragging on his weakness like we don't brag. Well, I got this flu, I got it, but I'm serving the Lord. I'm working for the Lord. No, he ain't talking about doing that because you come down with something, you got something. But you know, when you're weak, we're at our strongest. Because a lot of times, what did he have to take away from him? All his pride. He was a proud young, you know, all the revelation. Think about all the revelation that God gave Paul. I mean, he could turn pretty proud. I've even seen some people lay hands on sick, and one person recovered, and they got healed, and they went proud on themselves. I mean, have you ever seen anybody like that? Well, I got the healing ministry. This is me. This is what I do. I can lay hands on anybody. They're going to get healed. No, you're getting proud now. You better get back down in your weakness and, you know, you be a vessel of God. You know, a lot of times, you know, God can come and speak to you to pray for somebody, but you sometimes we'll get way off course when we're supposed to be praying what God has told us to pray for somebody. But we start doing it on our own, and we start getting into a different area. You see what I'm saying? But you know, I thought it widely held that Paul had a sickness, a thorn in the side. He had a sickness on him, right? But you know, which God refused to heal. God didn't heal him because he had a thorn in his side. No, that's not what it's not. Doesn't say nothing about a sickness, does it? No, it doesn't say anything about that. You know, this teaching has led many to believe it must be God's will that many Christians just don't get healed. Well, God don't want to heal me because I'm doing this for the Lord. No, God wants to heal you, but this thorn in the flesh, in the side, is not talking about a sickness. He's talking about keeping Paul under control, keeping his proudness away, keeping him from being too boastful about it. Now, sure, he was a slave for the Lord, right? He did things for the Lord. He focused on what God wanted him to do. I mean, you can even read all about Paul, and you'll find out him and God got into a little argument because he wanted to go somewhere. He wanted to go, but God said no. And what happened? Well, you'll have to read the story because it's not in this story today. Hallelujah. You know, and you know, one common belief that Paul suffered from some disease in his eyes. Remember that part when we talked about where he was blinded? Remember on the road? Okay. Common people believe that he suffered from some disease in his eyes and, you know, was nearly blind. Well, he was blind. But the Bible states that the Lord appeared in a vision to who? Ananias. And what? And told him to go and lay hands on Saul at the time that he might receive his sight. Now, if you know the history of Saul, which is Paul, that what he did, he was killing Christians, right? Sister Lynn Roy, I want you to go and lay hands on so-and-so and heal him. But you know, Lord, you know so-and-so. You know what? He's done killed a lot of people. He's waiting on the death. He's got the death penalty. He's got this. He's got that. But you know, Lord, you know, he's killed Christians. But the Lord said, do it. And what happened to Saul? Saul got his healing, right? Praise the Lord. So, you know, a lot of times the Spirit of God tells us to do something. But, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, I can't do it today. I got my little card game going on today. I can't do that. I got this going on today. I just can't do it. You know, we got to be like Paul. When the Lord speaks to us to go do something, go do it. Because he wants something to be done. There's an extra anointing when the Holy Spirit speaks to somebody to go call them on the phone. Have you ever had somebody just out of the blue call you on the phone and how it made you feel? They spoke encouraging words. They spoke encouragement to you. And you know, you were really down at the time. And you hear those words and say, wow, I really needed that. Well, that's the person being obedient to call you on the phone or even to pray for you. You know, I mean, you don't have to call somebody, well, I believe the Lord wants me to pray for you. No, you don't have to do that. God has already, if God has told you to do it, he's already opened the door for them to receive it. So God is waiting on us to call that person to call or lay hands, whatever it is that God tells us to do. And you know, we can go and do those things and the encouragement that it causes in somebody's heart. The world needs encouragement. The world is a sad place. You think about the people out there. You get on Facebook and listen to all the stuff that's going on in their life. Oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah, you do. First thing, get in the Word. Get in a Bible-based church. a faith-believing church, and hear what the Word says. Build yourself up. You don't mind going to the gym and picking up weights and be sore for the next 2 or 3 weeks. The Word ain't going to make you sore. The Word's going to be, it's going to change your life. I mean, how do you know? Well, I've tried it. It worked. So you don't try it, how are you going to know it works? Like I said, try it for yourself. You know, everybody in here has a whole different, everybody's got a different vehicle. You know, because why? You like that vehicle. Now, I wouldn't, you know, this person may have that one, they liked it. That's good. I got a vehicle, I like it. She's got a vehicle, she likes it. I like hers too. But you see what I'm saying? That we all have something different in life, but we, in other words, we like what we have so that we know that we can all worship God because we know He loves us. Even though a lot of times we say, where is God? He's never left us. We left Him. And you know, and it's sad to see people that leave God. And leave, you know, you got a calling to be in a certain place. God wants you. Say, God called you here. And you say you're here. So hook up. You know, I don't know about you, but if you're not hooked up and the train leaves, you're going to be there by yourself. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to turn to Acts 9, verse 12. Praise the Lord. Acts 9, 12. We'll go all the way to 17. Hallelujah. And it says, I have shown him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. Okay, verse the next verse. And he says, but Lord, explained Ananias, I've heard many people talk about this terrible things that this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem. Let's go to the next verse. And he says, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings, as well as to the people of Israel. Saul killing Jews, and God tells him that he is mine. Praise the Lord. And then in the next verse, it tells us, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. And then the verse 17. And he says, so Ananias went and found Saul and laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord said, who appeared to you on the road has sent me to you so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. And the next verse tells us, let's look at verse 18. And what to say? Instantly, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight, and then he got up and was baptized. Praise the Lord. And to conclude with what that Paul, you know, had eye trouble because of that brief blindness would be to belittle the work of God. God healed him, his eyes. So, think about, we talked about that thorn in the flesh. It's not nothing to do with healing. He healed his eyes. Praise the Lord. And we have to understand it's true that God permitted this thorn in the flesh because we read it in the scriptures, right? We read it before. He talked about God permitted it to come upon Paul. God permits those things. The devil is the one because he, you know, but it was not from God. That thorn in the flesh was not from God. The scriptures tell us that a messenger of Satan, right? We read that in the scriptures up there. The messenger of Satan was permitted to buffet him. The Bible does not say that this thorn in the flesh was sickness. You see what I'm saying? Just because we think we got this, you know, God has put this on me. No, God ain't put nothing on you. You put it on you. You let it to the devil. You receive what the devil was putting out. And he put it out so that what? You caught it. You played the little game. You ever seen the little mousetrap with the cheese or peanut butter on it? What happens? If that rat falls for that cheese or that peanut butter, he's a goner. Just like us. If we fall for those things out there that look pleasant to the eyes, the same thing. And I'm not calling you a rat, because I like peanut butter too. Crunchy. Praise the Lord. But you understand what I'm saying? That it's so easy to fall in those traps, to grab a hold of what the devil puts out there. It looks so nice. Man, you put a peanut butter on that trap, and with a big old peanut on there. Oh, that looks, ooh. Get me a knife and some crackers or some bread. Man, that looks good. But before you know it, that's the last thing you see is a peanut sitting right there on that little trap. Praise the Lord. But you notice we have to understand that thorn in the flesh, it came from a messenger of Satan. We need to understand what God's word tells us, that it's different what the devil tells us. The devil runs kind of, God's word is going along here. The devil's word is coming, because you know the devil knows his word, God's word, right? So it's running along here, right below there. And it could be something that looks real good, you know, and we're going to not follow God's word. And the devil's word is right there, and we've got to say, is that God or is that Satan? Well, the word is going to tell us this, but Satan's going to swing it around so that, just like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. He kind of swinged it around. So what happened? Oh, and what happened? We all had to pay the price. Hallelujah. But you notice that expression, thorn in the flesh, is used elsewhere in the Bible. It's not that scripture I just gave you a little bit ago, right? It's elsewhere in the Bible. Before the children of Israel went into the Canaan land, God told them to destroy the inhabitants, right, of the country. Wow. For if they didn't, these Canaanites would give the children of Israel trouble. And they're still giving them trouble today. Hallelujah. They would be a thorn in their side. That's what he said. Now, how you know that? Well, we have an awesome reference. It's called the Bible. And it's in Numbers 33:55. It's in there. Somebody said, well, I didn't never know that. Well, it's in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord. And some of the Old Testament pages might be kind of stuck together. Praise the Lord. Numbers 33:55. This is what it says. But if you fail to drive out the people who live in the land, those who remain will be like splinters in your eyes and thorn in your sides. They will harass you in the land where you live. You see what God's word is telling us? He tells us he told them to get rid of everything. Them Canaanites ain't good for nothing. Get rid of everything. And if you don't, they're gonna be on you. They're going to be harassing you. They're going to be, I don't know if anybody in here, if you have people harassing you at work, harassing you at the big box stores, harassing you wherever you go. Have you ever been someplace and I said, man, they were kind of rude in there, weren't they? Well, they're harassing you. But you understand, the word in Numbers, the word of the thorn in your side, it's not a sickness. It's something that God has allowed in your life to keep you humble. You ever seen any real proud Christians? Well, I'm going to use this as an example. You do something, and they want to throw the Bible at you. Remember that plank in the eye? A lot of times we got to work on our own self before we start working on somebody else. And that's what I'm talking about, that pride. Because it's too many times you've heard people say over and over that, I messed up. You shouldn't do that. You should know better than that. You're a Christian. You ever heard people say that to people? Yeah, you're a Christian. You ought not. Just pray to God and just ask God to do this and do that. They don't need you to preach to them. They need for you to console them. they need for you to show the love of Jesus on them. You know, because how many times we've all messed up? You know, I'm constantly repenting for something. I might have been just a little rough with her sometimes, saying something. You know, and you get, you know, I said, "What'd you say?" And I'm really not being rough. I'm just, you know, she didn't hear me the first time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Nobody's like that, right? Everybody does the same. Everybody, you know, everybody's good. Praise the Lord. So don't throw the Bible at me. But because I've repented. Praise the Lord. And God, and guess what? I can repent. I don't have to go to somebody else and say, you know what I did? I need forgiveness. No, I went to God. God's the one who's going to forgive me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he's the one that's going to forgive me, not anybody else. Praise the Lord. But you know, there's no reference of sickness even in that scripture with talking about the splinters in the eyes. And you, if you get a splinter in the eye, you probably need some healing in your body. But he's talking about the splinter in your eye and the thorn in your side. It's no reference of sickness at all. You know, why did God permit that the thorn in the flesh to buffet Paul? Right? The scriptures say it was to keep him from developing a tendency to be prideful about the revelation and visions he had. The man wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He had a lot of vision. He had a lot of revelation of what God has done. And he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. That could get very prideful if not careful. But he had that little thorn in the flesh and he keep him humble. Keep him humble. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, most people who think that they have a thorn in the flesh haven't had any kind of revelation or vision. And you know, they're doing it in ignorance and doubting is permitting Satan to defeat them. You think about it. Satan can come in when you start getting in that defeated mode. That Satan can come in, and you know, and Satan wants to keep them from the blessings of God. You know, somebody says blessing. What is, you know, money? No, blessing is a healing. If you're ever gone through something that you know, you're the only one that knows, and Lord, I need you. A blessing could be your healing. A blessing could be whatever it is. And you know, I want to stress to you that we need to spend more time with God. You know, more time with God than all your activities. Why is that? Because God is where our blessings are. People are not, you know, God uses people to bless us, but I'm saying that the blessings of God is greater than anything else. And you know, we all have that flesh in the thorn in the flesh because of something. Have you ever had something you want to say something and you say, "Oh, I better not." Well, you got that little thorn over there that kind of went, "Oh, yeah, I better not say that." You see what I'm saying? Keeping you humble before the Lord. You know, and I believe, as God has told us in his word, that there are some who do have a thorn in the flesh, and some the ways like Paul did. And you know, because the devil is ever present to stir up trouble. Just when you think everything's going good, all of a sudden something happens. The devil is stirring up all this trouble. He's ever present to stir it up. You know, you think everything's just going great, like going down I-10, and all of a sudden, there's a wreck on the bridge, and you spend the next 24 hours waiting to clean it up. You see what I'm saying? That you're going, and you're ready to go, and you're doing, and you, and all of a sudden, the devil throws a roadblock in there. But we need to understand that he's always trying to stir up trouble and hinder our work that we're doing for God. You know, I mean, you think about it. You do things for the Lord, and you know, you say, "Well, I didn't see no return." It's a return, but God ain't going to show you that return till later, till it's fulfilled. So, you know, people say, well, why should I do anything for the Lord? I don't see nothing in return. This is not the stock market. This is God. God is our stock market. He stores those things up. Doesn't he say he stores? Okay, well, what that mean? He's got it. He's not like the stock market. He taketh away. The stock market taketh away. But I can tell you, God's not going to take it away from you. God's got it in storage until he's ready to give it to you. So be ready at all time. As I said many years ago, if you got you know, some ladies that carry a little purse, I would carry a big purse because God's got blessings for you. Financial blessings. Get a bigger wallet. Get a bigger wallet. Get a bigger pocket. Get a bigger whatever because God wants to bless you. And you know, we have to understand that our blessings are not just our healing. Blessing our finances. Blessings are also our healing. You know, and we need to be giving God praise and thanking him every morning for our healing. Even though you may be coughing, you may be limping, you may be doing this, you may be doing that. But praising God that you're still ready to receive those blessings. Thank him for your healing in your body, even though you don't feel like it yet. But praise him because of the healing that hasn't caught up, you ain't caught up with, but it's coming. You think about it. You may hear, you know, I mean, I've had people get reports before. You know, they'll say, well, there ain't nothing we can do about this right here. But I can tell you one thing. Once they say that right there, I got a greater God. I put my trust in what he says because when you look at to people for your answers, you're looking in the wrong place. You know, that it's not an Easter egg hunt where you look over here. No, you look here. You speak it out to God because what you're doing, you put all your trust in him and not whose report are you going to, you know that song? Yeah. Whose report? You know, so we need to understand that whatever they say over here, this is my report. God says this about me. God says this. How do you know what God says? Well, it's in his word. Thank God it's in his word. And a lot of people say, well, I don't know where it's at. Well, look, open up the Bible. Open it up. Now get the dust off of it, open it up, and start reading the Bible. And you know, he said, well, I ain't seen nothing happen yet. Well, it ain't in your time, and it's in God's timing. Too many people like that fast food. Go through there real quick and grab it and go. But I can tell you one thing. God wants to bless his people through healing, finances. But you know, one thing about it, we've got to do our part. You think about it. Do our part, and we will see those things. Does that mean being a doer of the word? It's not talking about the works. I'm talking about doer of the word. You know, follow after what the word says. That's your roadmap. That is whatever it is you need. That is your doctor's report. That is your financial report. It's everything that you need is right here in his word. And grab a hold to his word. Praise the Lord. And it says in 2 Corinthians 12, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. God's grace gives us power to rise above the buffering of Satan. We walk above all of that. Satan's below our feet. And we got to put that in your heart and believe it. Because that's what his word says. You know, you don't have to believe me, but I just read you the word. But it's all in his word. Believe what his word says. Do what his word says. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of this today? Yes. Praise the Lord.